The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and people send me mail, and every once in a while, someone will actually send me a package, and I got a package recently in the mail, and return address was in Kettering, and I looked at it, and I'm like, who is in Kettering that's sending me a package? And so I opened it, and it had a book in it and a really nice note from a gentleman in Kettering. His name is Douglas Boatman, and he joins us on the program right now. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. That was so thoughtful of you to send me a package. Now, what led you to do that?
Well, I was trying to think of ways to promote my book, and I thought I had read that you enjoy reading crime and mystery novels. So I thought I would just send you this book, and you could, you know, read it for your own enjoyment. It takes place in mostly in Florida, in warm weather, and I thought, if nothing else, you could just save it for a cold day in Ohio and then and read it. And then I thought, you know, there's an outside chance maybe he'll like it and want to do an interview or put it in the newspaper. You know, could be the beginning of something. But I didn't really have, you know, that high hopes. Just thought I'd try and see what happened.
Well, you were very discreet about it because you wrote me this very nice note, and you didn't say anything about wanting to have it reviewed or do it in an interview. You just said, here, enjoy my book. I hope you like my book. And I thought that was a really great approach because I started reading the book. And It's called Danger in the Rain, and it features your private investigator from Dayton, Ohio. His name is Ted Danger, and if you read the book, you'll understand why it's not pronounced danger, but it hooked me. I read about 100 pages and I was laughing and and I thought, you know, this guy, he knows what he's doing. So how is it, Douglas, that you know what you're doing? Tell us about yourself and what made you write this novel. What's the story behind it?
Well, I guess I've always enjoyed creative writing. My first sales were back in the 1900s. When there used to be a lot of these confession magazines, you know, True Experience and True Story and Modern Love. And this was a really big market, so I thought I would just dive in. And I had some success with that. The interesting thing about this market is that they buy all the rights of your story, and then they do whatever they want with it. They edit it, change it around. Your name appears nowhere, you know, in the magazine. So that was fun, but then at some point I thought, you know, I'd like to have something out there with my name on it. So I'd been writing short stories and trying to get them published. And at one point, let's see, about 10 years ago, I took a class at Wright State on novel writing from Aaron Flanagan, Professor Flanagan. And that's how Danger in the Rain started. We were doing some brainstorming in one of her classes, and somebody said, what's a great name for a main character, and somebody shouted out Ted, and that was the beginning. And, you know, I used to read, Mickey Spillane, and he had a character called Tiger Man. And I thought, well, I could do the same thing. I could call my character Ted Danger. So Ted Danger was born. But somewhere along the way, somebody said, you know, Danger, that's just too much on the money. You know, so I thought, well, what can I call him? And I thought, well, I'll just call him Danger. You know, it's a bit of an affectation, I think. And he's kind of a strange guy. He's got a funny sense of humor. And I don't really know if his name is really Danger or if it's an affectation. and then it spiraled from there.
Okay. You mentioned writing for these, what would you call them, pulp magazines? Most of those
They were called confession magazines, right.
Most of those kind of went away in the 1970s, so I'm guessing that was about the time you were doing that.
Well, in fact, they had hung on until, I was just looking at one last night from 1993.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised, too. I hadn't realized I was writing them that late.
Uh-huh.
But that was about the end of it.
Well, give me an example of something that you wrote uncredited in one of these magazines. I want to know what kind of bodice-ripping stuff this was.
Well, let's see. I wrote one called, this one is, I'm in love with a dead man, exclamation point, a story that will shock you.
Okay.
And it's a story of a woman who meets a pianist, a young woman who meets a pianist at a wedding, and she falls for him, but he ends up spending a lot of his time, you know, out at night on his gigs with his buddy Jude. And I kind of had in mind Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was not too long after the nightclub tragedy. What was the name of that nightclub off 75?
The one in Newport?
Yeah, that direction.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember the big fire down there by Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I had him lose his life there helping people escape. And so then she falls in with Jude, and Jude's a little creepy, and they're trying to access the ghost of Stephen, who's the pianist, and... it gets, I mean, I was reading it last night, and I got really engrossed in it. And finally, they're out on a field near the nightclub. They've been looking for Stephen's ghost, and she's at her wit's end, and the sun is starting to come up, and she says, "Stephen, just give me a sign, mm-hmm. and I'll let you go." And as the sun starts to peek up over the horizon, she sees the green flash. Because at that time, I thought the green flash was really something interesting. So she sees the green flash, and then she realizes that he said goodbye to her. And, you know, basically she cleans up her life, and she splits with Jude. And I really liked it. You know, I'd like to republish it someday, but I'll probably be in trouble even talking about it. Because it's not mine anymore.
You don't own the rights. What magazine was that in?
This was in True Experience.
Okay. And that was the Beverly Hills Supper Club fire.
Yeah, Beverly Hills.
That was it 1977? Something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a long time ago. Okay, Douglas, well, we digress.
Okay.
Set us up on this story, because this is a wild and wacky story. I read a lot of this stuff, and this is one of the wilder, wackier things I've read in a long time, Douglas. It's funny. It's bizarre. It's mystical. Tell us the setup on this.
Well, I kind of had in mind like Carl Hiaasen, you know, with his Florida books, and even Tim Dorsey, and just I had a lot of influences, but I just felt like, you know, anything could happen in this story. I used to like to watch Monty Python a lot, you know, and so that was like humor of the absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Where just about anything could happen on Monty Python. I grew up reading the Hardy Boys, and you know they were always having these secret adventures, going through the passageways and the caves, but nothing really bad ever happened to them. And they were kind of naive and clueless. And that's just kind of the way I thought Ted would be. He's just a little bit naive and clueless. He kind of bumbles his way through things, and he gets involved in just the most bizarre things. And a lot of these ideas come to me really straight from my subconscious. You know, I started out with just the idea that you have the detective in his office and it's raining outside for atmosphere, you know, just the cliche, and his assistant is working on paperwork and a beautiful client comes with a mysterious picture. And then it was later, like I was working out in the gym when, you know, suddenly I had this insight that there was something amazing about this photograph, and I knew what it was. And then a little bit later, I'm in the shower, and I realize that there's something incredible about this assistant that all ties back to the storm, and this random storm becomes a key part of the story. And then it's just research. You know, I just started doing research about storms in Florida and just found all sorts of fascinating things about a segregated beach on Virginia Key,
mm-hmm.
And also the story is sort of based on a short story I wrote that took place in Pompano Beach with a runaway girl and a beach magician. And so and she grows up then to become a hypnotist, and I think hypnotists are just fascinating. Mm. So I just threw it all in there. You know, I wanted hypnotist, I wanted the beach, you know, I've got a psychic. When my wife went down there for her honeymoon, we stopped at the Monkey Jungle, but it had just been, like, destroyed by a hurricane. But in the past, we'd taken our kids to these petting zoos and things, and so I had these ideas in my mind of, like, a petting zoo and a monkey jungle. So that's kind of where I got the idea of Ted ended up down at Jenny Axelrod's place, the old defunct zoo, petting zoo. And he's trying to track down this mysterious photograph and where it came from. And it turns out that she's got a son or a stepson she keeps hidden, and that's Boyce.
Mm-hmm.
And Boyce, Ted almost leaves without meeting Boyce, but he decides he has to meet Boyce. And that's a decision that really changes everything then for the rest of the story.
Well, once you bring in Boyce, I started picturing this as a sort of a B horror movie, and Svengoolie doing the introductions and telling us about what's about to happen, and it's kind of like creepy Hitchcock meets Monty Python.
Well, I didn't really, to tell the truth, I wrote this book a lot by the seat of my pants, you know, and as I wrote it, I learned a lot of things about writing. I mean, they say that's the best way to learn how to write a novel is to write one.
Mm.
And in fact, that's one thing that took me so long. I've been working on it for 10 years, and the thing that took me so long to release it was because I kept learning things about how to improve a novel, and then I'd go back to the beginning and start going through it and making these changes.
Mm.
And at some point, I just decided I had to let it go. But Boyce, originally, you know, he just, Ted just waved goodbye to him from the window and took off. But again, my subconscious was working, and I thought, you know what, I've got to get those two back together. I've got to get Boyce and Ted back together. And suddenly, you know, I just had this idea that, you know, here's this great cliche that I can throw in where the detective gets hit on the head and thrown in a trunk and taken out to the Everglades and dumped. And, of course, it turns out that that's just at the time when he needs to get back to Miami urgently. And it turns out the place where he's dumped is not that far from Jenny Axelrod's old defunct petting zoo.
Mm.
So he was able to call her. Because these ineffective criminals, you know, weren't able to find his phone because he had hidden it so cleverly in his pocket. And so that's how he ends up back with Boyce. And that's something that, you know, I had never planned in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But these things just occurred to me and just came together. And I think my next book I'm going to try to have a little bit more of an outline, and maybe it'll take me, you know, 5 years instead of 10.
If you're just tuning in, it's the Book Nook. My guest is Douglas Boatman. He joins us on the phone in Kettering. His new novel, A Ted Danger Mystery, is Danger in the Rain. And you're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your home for independent news and handpicked music. I also got flashes of Guy Noir from the Prairie Home Companion. And this PI of yours, Ted, it's not exactly politically correct. You talked about stuff coming out of your subconscious. Ted, or maybe you, have a rich fantasy life, and some of the stuff that happens here is pretty wild, and I can't remember reading a book recently that had this kind of wild stuff in it. I mean, your imagination is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's not really woke, so he does and says some things that he probably would get in trouble for. But you know, he ends up, you know, in intimate situations with at least three women in this book. And so, you know, you might think he's kind of a womanizer, but you know, I learned a lot after I wrote the book. I went back and I noticed things I hadn't noticed when I was writing it. But really, it's he's the one who's really being used. You know, he's the one who's being manipulated by these. I was surprised that so many women were willing to, like, nurture him, and they would give him food and drinks, and they were always giving him different kinds of drugs. But it was just about always for their own benefit, for something that they wanted from him.
Mm-hmm.
So he really is just kind of wandering through, kind of a bit clueless.
Just an innocent pawn.
Well, I had been reading a French novel, Gil Blas, and they call it a picaresque novel.
Uh-huh.
And they say that it's those kinds of novels are like adventures of a ghoulish but appealing hero who lives by his wits in a corrupt society, and they're typically realistic, but they have elements of comedy and satire. And I thought, you know, that's kind of what I was going for.
Mm.
He doesn't quite know what he's doing. It's realistic, but then there's elements of comedy and satire mixed into it.
And also some very supernatural things, which readers will discover. We need to talk about the setup as far as how he gets on the case, what it is that he's trying to solve or figure out, because I think that's a crucial mm-hmm. part of the story. Mm-hmm. He spends the whole story trying to figure something out, and I won't go into any spoilers about how that results, but at the beginning, he is hired to do something. We probably should tell our listeners what it is that he's supposed to do.
Well, right. His client comes in from this rainstorm. It's a tropical storm that's kind of swung its way up into Ohio. We don't get too many of them in Ohio, but we do once in a while. And that kind of is a clue that he's going to go down to the tropics. But she shows Ted a picture of, she says it's a picture of her daughter, 11-year-old daughter. The picture was taken, she says, 4 years ago when she was visiting her grandparents in Pompano Beach. And she's with an older man on a beach, and they're arm in arm, and they're naked. They're nude. But they're both smiling, and they're arm in arm. And the man has one hand around her shoulder. He's kind of has his hand on her neck, and one of his fingers is just kind of resting casually in her ear. And it's just to me that really gives me the creeps for some reason, that image. And it gives the mother the creeps too. And she's, because she doesn't know who the man is. And, you know, Ted says, well, you know, your daughter's naked with him and smiling. And she says, I know that, Ted. And so that's why she hires him. So he jets off to Florida to try to figure this out. And he runs into all kinds of characters
and the
in Florida while he's...
The mystery is, who is the man?
Yes. You know, she doesn't know who the man
okay.
is.
It's her daughter, but she doesn't know who the guy is, and this is very disturbing to her.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so off he goes, and he meets a lot of different people, and he eventually gets the answer. He eventually gets the answer, and they all get together on Virginia Key. And everything is explained.
Mm.
And I just thought it was even when I read it now, even I get a tear in my eyes on some of these pages, at some of the things that have happened. You know, with there's lost daughters, and there's misidentified people, and there's just all sorts of secrets. And of course, there's one big secret that comes out at the very end that changes Ted's life forever in a way that he had never suspected.
Gotcha.
And, I don't know. As I wrote it, I put a lot of clues in through the book about what that secret was going to be, and toward the end, I tried to make them so obvious that just to show how clueless Ted is, you know, that you could practically tell him something and he's just saying, huh?
Uh-huh.
What's this?
Yes.
That's one thing I just love about Ted is he loves to explain things. He's like a mansplainer, but half the time he's explaining things, you know, the women are just rolling their eyes because they know better, or, you know, they're pretty sassy,
uh-huh.
I think.
Yeah.
The women are pretty sassy, and Ted is kind of clueless. But, you know, he tries. He's got his problems, but he tries, and he eventually gets the job done.
Well, you definitely are a fan of mysteries and crime novels. There are so many homages in this
right.
story. You've got the chase scene. You've got all these things that are clearly reminiscent of things that you've read or things
right.
that you've enjoyed in other stories. This is an impressive book, and I'm curious to know, obviously, this is not your first profession as a novelist. You said you're 68 years old. What did you do for a day job? Are you retired now? What did you do for the last 40-some years?
Well, I'm retired now, but for like 23 years, I worked at Reynolds & Reynolds.
Okay.
So I was there when they had the big transition, when we got bought out. And then at that point, I got laid off, and I went back to school, went back to Wright State, and finished up my degree. I had started in 1970, and it just didn't take, and I ended up going, you know, on and off through the years, and like 40 years later, then in 2010, I finally graduated, which mm-hmm. was a real thrill. And then 10 years later, I finally published a book. So well, now I need to be working on my next one.
Uh-huh. When I think of Reynolds & Reynolds, I think of technology. I think of computer systems being sold to car dealerships. Is that
right? That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And is that what you did? Were you like a salesman, or what did you do?
Well, I did technical writing.
Okay.
And documentation, but in fact, the department I was in mostly did like instructions for the end users. So it wasn't a lot about the technology. It was more about like what you would enter at a certain prompt on a screen.
Gotcha.
So I didn't have to know anything too technical.
Uh-huh.
But we started in that old facility off 75 downtown where the clock was, and that place was like a rabbit's warren of crooked hallways and low stairways, and in fact the rung ladder in Danger in the Rain comes straight out of that building.
Oh, okay.
My buddy and I found a secret door in the back of a supply closet that led into this big cavernous dusty attic area, and we stepped through a lot of detritus and found this rung ladder that went straight up into the clock that sat by the expressway.
Okay.
And we went up there and we saw the bullet holes where people had driven by and shot holes in the face of the clock.
Really?
And yeah. So that was you know, I just things like that, you know, made it into the book, just things I've done over the last, you know, 50 years.
And this is near the end of the book when you have the big showdown with some of the bad guys, and one particular hulking bad guy goes down this little ladder.
Right, right.
Okay, right. I like that bad guy. You didn't have him in the book enough for my taste. I wanted to see more of him.
He was pretty nasty.
Okay, so what kind of stuff do you like to read? In this note you wrote me, you said you like John Sanford, Harlan Coben, Joe Nesbo, Carl Hyacin, who you've mentioned. Also,
yeah.
The late Robert Parker. And
right.
you say you're currently rereading Travis McGee. Tell us about some of these things that you're into.
Well, Travis McGee, I mean, he's always gripping. His stuff's a little dated now because all of his women are kind of, you know, childlike and neurotic. But his plots are pretty, and his bad guys are horrifying, and then as I said, I read Mickey Spillane before that, and started out with the Hardy Boys and Monty Python. Did I say Harlan Coben?
Mm-hmm.
I read him when he comes out, and Robert Craze.
So you say you are working on another book? Is it another book about Ted?
Yeah, the tentative title is Danger on the Run.
Uh huh. And would this be book number two, or are there other books I don't know about?
No, this will be book number two.
Okay.
Yeah, Danger in the Rain is the first one. So now that I've got that under my belt, you know,
uh-huh.
we'll see how fast the rest of them go.
Well, I'll say one thing. I had the book lying around the house as I was reading it, And I kept getting comments from someone in my house who said, wow, every time I walk by that book, the cover just like grabs me by the eyeballs.
Yeah, I love that cover too.
It's kind of bright.
I tried to make my own cover, and it didn't turn out so well.
Really?
My writing group about ran me out of the building on a rail.
Yeah.
This was by eBook Cover Design is the name of the company.
Uh-huh.
Brandy McCann, she's based out of Maine, and she did a really good job. It started out pretty conservative, and I kept telling her I wanted more color, and I finally dared her to give me too much color. And so she just threw everything into it, and I said, okay, that's it.
Nice. Did you just mention...
I just love it. Makes my mouth water.
Did you just mention that you're in a writing group?
Yeah, I was in the Western Ohio Writers Association for years, and they all know Ted because we've gone through a lot of... And they just recently went defunct, and now they're just... they work through Facebook as the Gem City Writers Network.
I mean, they're
still around, but we don't get together like we used to.
Okay. I like this author photo that you picked. Looks like you're sitting in kind of a nice car. I can't really see what it is, but you look pretty happy.
Yeah, this is my wife went on a trip, and she'd always said she wanted a two-seater convertible. So I saw this for sale in Columbus, and I ran out and bought it and had it in the driveway. When she came home, all shined up, I told her it was her birthday present. And I think she's driven it once since then, and I've been behind the wheel the rest of the time.
Well, no wonder you look so
good for me.
You look so pleased in this photo. Is that when she first saw the car?
No, this was over at Poland Farm. We just found a nice shady spot and took a bunch of pictures. And
okay.
This is the one that came out. Yeah, I wanted something a little more interesting, you know, for this particular book.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than my previous books, I had I'm in a bookstore in a suit, and I thought that just wouldn't look right for Danger in the Rain.
You have previous books?
Yeah, well, I put together a couple of short story books just to kind of teach myself the process.
Okay.
Because it's pretty complicated.
Yeah.
Trying to put a book together and all the different pieces that you have to do. So I started slow with a couple of short story books, and they're out there.
Okay. Well, congratulations on this one, Douglas.
Well, thanks so much.
In case you're just tuning in, it's been the Book Nook, and I've been talking to Douglas Boatman. He joined us on the phone in Kettering, talking about his first Ted Danger mystery. It's called Danger in the Rain. And Douglas, thank you so much for your time and for sending me your book.
Well, it was my pleasure, Nick. Did I say Nick?
I answer to anything that rhymes with ick. Thank you so much, Douglas.
Thank you.
For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.